We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is one of my favorites, Tom Ivester. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Good. It's Friday.
Yes, it's always fun Friday when you come. You're one of my favorites. And I'm not just saying that. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Barbara Dyson Ford Lincoln, located right here in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, I urge you to contact Barbara Dyson. They can find you what you're looking for. If you would like to be put on the blessing wheel for the book for this month, all you have to do is like, share, and comment. Done. The book for this month is Flickering Lamps, Christ and His Church by Henry and Richard Blackaby. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out?
Somebody help, not just anybody
help,
you know I need someone
help.
When I was younger, so much younger than today,
I never needed
anybody's help in any way.
Now,
but now these days are gone,
days
I'm not so self-assured.
Now I find
a change of mind and open up the doors.
Now I've changed my mind, I'll open up the doors.
play a bunch of music and don't go over a whole lot of scripture, so I'll give you my normal disclaimer. I'm not a preacher, not a long-time Sunday school teacher, so you can take what I say with a grain of salt or don't take it at all. I thought I'd go over a little bit. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is Jonah. It's usually taught as a kid story. I think it's actually much deeper than that. It's one of the shorter books of the Bible. And most of it just know it as a children's story. But what fascinates me as an adult as I got into it was Jonah's rejection of God. And he never seemed to come around. So that's what fascinated me. It doesn't fit in with the story. In fact, when he kind of seemed to come around, and then when he did, he got angry again. And then it just leaves us sitting there wondering what the heck happened. That's why one of the reasons I find the story so interesting. And when I was growing up, they never preached the last part of the story. All you hear is Jonah got thrown, you know, he was told to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go, so he went and got on the ship. And I'm paraphrasing now, and I'll actually read from scripture here in a little bit. But went and got on the ship, and so God, you know, grew angry, and the sea grew rough. And so Jonah kind of cowered down. They were trying to figure out what to do. I'll pick it up in chapter 1, verse 2. Jonah finally says, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm." He's referring to the sea. "I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they did not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you please." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. So interesting, Jonah didn't say, "Hey, you know, I'll sacrifice myself for you guys." In fact, he did the opposite. He was actually very cowardly and was going to let this whole ship go down to try to save himself. There's a lot of, I've heard a lot of sermons over, this was foreshadowing of Jesus, you know, because he was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. And then there's this endless, freaking endless controversy over, was it a fish or a whale? Yeah. I don't care. Incredible. How many times I've heard that controversy. And I guess it matters if you look at the book literally. If you look at it as an analogy, it doesn't matter at all. But if you look at it literally, then you've got to go back to the original languages are written in, and most people, 10 out of 10, could not tell you what language the book of Jonah was even written in, much less translated in, and then translated to, and then translated again. So I don't even go there. But eventually, he makes it to Nineveh. And this is chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give to you." Jonah obeyed the word of God and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned away from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. So most stories that I've ever heard or sermons end right there. They just stop. In fact, most children's stories, they end right there. And so there's only four chapters to this book, and that's the end of chapter three. So we'll go on to chapter four, but first we're going to listen to a song. And this is a Buck Owens song. I like Buck. He's from California. Let me see if I can find this song. Okay, so this is kind of, it's called Hello Trouble. And not that the trouble starts here for Jonah, because the trouble was there from the beginning. But most Americans, most preaching I've heard, wraps up the story right there at the end of chapter 3 and doesn't get at the heart of the trouble. So, Buck Owens, Hello Trouble.
Woke up this morning, happy as could be. Looked out my window, and what did I see? I'm coming up my sidewalk, just as plain as day. Well, here come trouble that I never thought I'd see when you went away. Hello, trouble, come on in. You talk about heartaches, where in the world you been? I ain't had the miseries since you've been gone. Hello, trouble, 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 welcome home. Pot of coffee, and you can rest your shoes. You can tell me them sweet lies, and I'll listen to you. For I'm just a little part of all the life you've lived. But I'd rather have a little bit of trouble than to never know the love you give. Hello, trouble, come on in. You talk about heartaches, where in the world you've been? I ain't had the misery since you've been gone. Hello, trouble, 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 welcome home.
Okay, that was Buck Owens, Bakersfield, California, native. Hello, trouble. So, Jonah chapter 4. So, let me read the last verse from chapter 3 to give you some context. So Jonah chapter 3 verse 10, when God saw what they did, referring to the Ninevites, and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. So chapter 4 begins, but Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, this is not what I said when I was still at home. This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew you're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. So, here's my obligatory Buddy Holly song, tribute to my dad. And this was really a song about teenage love, but I think the title fits. It's called It Doesn't Matter Anymore. And I think it fits Jonah's attitude, at least the title of the song. So you have, I don't know how many tens of thousands repent and turn toward the Lord, and Jonah is ticked off and angry at God. So here's Buddy Holly. It doesn't matter anymore.
There you go, baby. Here am I. Well, you left me here so I could sit and cry. Well, golly gee, what have you done to me? Well, I guess it doesn't matter anymore. Do you remember, baby, last September, how you held me tight each and every night? Well, whoops-a-daisy, how you drove me crazy, but I guess it doesn't matter anymore. There's no use in me a-crying. I've done everything and now I'm sick of trying. I've thrown away my nights and wasted all my days over you. Well, you go your way and I'll go mine. Now and forever till the end of time, I'll find somebody new. Baby, we'll say we're through and you won't matter anymore. There's no use in me a crying. I've done everything and now I'm sick of trying. I've thrown away my nights and wasted all my days over you. Well, you go your way and I'll go mine. Now and forever till the end of time, I'll find somebody new. And baby, we'll say we're through and you won't matter anymore. You won't matter anymore.
Okay, that was Buddy Holly, Lubbock product. It doesn't matter anymore. So at this point, Job is, I think, basically has that attitude, because in verse 3 it says, "Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." He is so ticked off that these tens of thousands of people have turned to the Lord. And Jonah's nothing but angry. So verse 4, "But the Lord replied, 'Have you any right to be angry?'" This dialogue fascinates me. Every time I hear someone say, "Well, doubt is a sin, and if you're doubting, you don't have enough faith," and I'm like, "Oh Lord." I could throw you the Old Testament where it's full of nothing but doubt and people having arguments with God. And this is one of you have Jonah saying, "It's better for me to die. Thanks, but no thanks. I don't want you. It doesn't matter anymore. I'll go my own way. You go yours." Saw what you did. Don't like it. I'd rather for me to die. But the Lord comes back. "Have you any right to be angry?" This is the Lord talking to him. "Have you any right to be lame?" Can you imagine having the dialogue with the God at this point? "Have you any right to be angry?" Verse 5, "Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city." Okay, obviously he's angry, and this is my impression. He's sulking at this point. He's still angry. This is even after God has come back. What right do you have to being angry? So he goes and sits down and is sulking and maybe still hoping that the city will simply catch on fire and everybody's going to die. That's all that's the impression I get. Maybe that's the impression I get for this. So I tried to think of a song that would fit with this. Okay, now this is it's a cover song of a old rap song from 2001. So the original song was 2001, sang by a kind of a one-hit wonder named Blue Cantrell, and it's called "Hit 'Em Up Style," and it's basically a revenge song. She catches her boyfriend cheating, and this is an angry revenge song. But I like the cover. And I thought, well, this kind of fits Jonah's mood. I think he's just sitting there silently hoping the city will simply catch on fire and all these people will die. So this is a revenge song called "Hit 'Em Up Style."
I was beaming in his beamer, just beaming. Can't believe that I caught my man cheating. So I found another way to make him pay for it all. So I went to Neiman Marcus on a shopping spree, and on the way I grabbed Soleil and Mia. And as the cash box rang, I threw everything away. Your hands on his cash and spend it to the last time for all the hard times. When you go, then everything goes from the crib to the ride in the clothes. So you better let him know that if he messes up, you gotta hit him up. To the last time for all the hard times. When you go, then everything goes from the crib to the ride in the clothes. So you better let him know that if he mess up, you gotta hit him up. Hey, ladies, when your man wanna get buck wild, just go back and hit him up style. Get your hands off this cash and spin it to the last time for all the hard times. When you go, then everything goes from the crib to the ride in the clothes.
So that was Hit 'Em Up Style. It's an old rap song that was cover redone by the Carolina Chocolate Drops. I thought that was, it's a good, I like that cover version. And, you know, it reminds me of the old phrase, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. But for me, the song kind of fit, you know. So Jonah is upset. The city repented. And then the Lord comes back to him and says, what right do you have to be angry? And he soils up and just goes and sits down. So let's pick it up. This is Jonah chapter 4, verse 6. And it says, then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up after Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. You know, I see this as kind of like a parent going, okay, he soiled up. I need to give him a break, right? So God gives him a little shade. And then verse 7, but at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. Verse 8, when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. I'm going to read this whole passage again, so starting with verse 5, when Jonah soils up. Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort, and Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. Man, there's a lot to unpack there, and I haven't been able to. So I've read a lot of different interpretations of that. But at the end, this is Jonah talking. It would be better for me to die than to live. We're back to he wants to commit suicide or just die. So I thought of this song. Let me see here. Okay, so this is an old Hank Williams tune from 1949, but it's a remake by Carrie Rodriguez. And I like the way she does it. Sometimes I like old songs, but sometimes when you hear them 1,000 times, you know, you want to hear them a little different. So this is an old Hank Williams song from 1949 done by Carrie Rodriguez. And for me, it just fits with what Jonah is thinking. It would be better for me to die than to live.
To hide his pain.